Get up, Flyer fans. It's the show just for you. Flyer Feedback, presented by Bud Light and live from the WHIO studios. Flyer Feedback is brought to you by Bud Light. Raise one right now. And by Flyer Spirit, the university-owned, student-staffed destination for Dayton Flyers gear. Hashtag Flyer Spirit. Call in with your comments or questions. 457-1290. Flyer Feedback on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. Now here's your host, John Bedell and John Tisdell.
Oh, Flyer fans, do we have to talk about this?
I guess we do.
Flyers go into Foggy Bottom, and they lose. Again, they lose 87-81 to the GW Colonials. In case you can recognize the voice, I am not John Bedell. John Bedell is anchoring the 11 o'clock on News Center 7. Michael Purvis is filling in tonight for John Bedell. How are you, Mike? I wish we were talking about a Flyer win. We are not.
Wish we were in the party booth.
I know.
No party booth
tonight.
I didn't bring it with me.
No,
Sorry. No,
unfortunately not. So, not happy. Not happy about this one.
Nope.
And I could tell you one person who definitely was not happy tonight, Archie Miller.
Yeah.
He was steamed. Using words like unacceptable, tonight was not our night, GW played well. He even said this was a Dayton problem. We didn't play well.
And you know, one of the things is, before I heard Archie's comments, I was kind of trying to be a little bit more on the positive side of all of this, and like, Okay, they didn't get injured. You know, that was, for me, on my checklist. That was the first thing. Just get out uninjured. We already know where the, you know, you may drop the seed line a little bit, but you can, they're going to have the opportunity to make that up in Pittsburgh. But hearing what Archie said actually concerned me a little bit, you know, with those words that you hit on and the ones that I wrote down. Unacceptable performance, stuck in the mud, loss of competitive spirit. Those are some serious, slightly alarming things to hear as you're heading into the A-10 tournament and heading into March. Now, you know, Archie did in his comments by saying he hopes that this is something that can re-energize them going into the week of practice, and Obviously whenever they find out who they play on Friday, which obviously they won't know till Thursday, but there was a little bit of concern that I heard from Archie, but I think it was more anger than it was something where he actually saw something concerning.
Project Friday FM, it was Steve from Miami Township who was called the show. I thought put this very well on Twitter, and I'm going to go ahead and repeat what he said. Archie is livid. I can feel the red coming through on the radio. Don't envy the guys. Yeah, practice is not going to be fun for these guys on Wednesday or Monday, as it shouldn't have been. I mean, you give up 10 three-pointers in the first half, you're not going to win.
No.
I mean, I'm sorry. You can't give up 50 first-half three-pointers. And yes, Dayton fought back in the second half, but at times, Mike, you and I were talking about this. This seemed like Northwestern all over again at times.
Oh,
in the in that game 2 months ago, they got back to some of the same bad habits defensively. I'm not going to say, okay, yes, GW made shots, but and this was their senior night, and emotion can get you all fired up. But maybe one game, but we don't want to take it away of what's been a very good week for the Dayton Flyers, winning their first outright A-10 championship. By the way, if you missed it, we will be rebroadcasting the game tomorrow, the Dayton VCU game, so we can get off this foul mood that we're all feeling right now. But this is kind of what Archie said afterwards, and I thought this was the key phrase, so we're going to go ahead and replay this part real quick.
This should set the tone, hopefully, for a much more ready team when we go to Pittsburgh, because if you lose your edge, if you lose your competitive spirit, if you're not all dialed in like we've been for about 2.5 months, anyone can beat you.
And I think that's the key right there. And especially when you get into March, look at some of the upsets we've already had in some of these conference tournaments. And Horizonly, you had the number one seed already go down tonight. And you had the number two seed in the Horizonly tournament go down tonight. You had even Jacksonville State in the Ohio Valley Conference win their tournament already tonight. The number four seed, I'm not sure that's the number four seed, that knocked off Belmont and UT Martin in the Ohio Valley Conference. Anybody can beat you on any given night. You can throw out the regular seasons because they don't mean a dog. Gone thing, Mike, when you get into Pittsburgh, because LaSalle and Davidson have got just as much of a chance to win that tournament, and you got to also watch out for this GW team because they are scorching hot right now.
Right now, they are definitely one of the hotter teams, and you kind of saw something that with this Dayton team from the start is that the perimeter defense has been relatively decent throughout the year, you'd argue that. But Kavanaugh presents such a matchup nightmare for the Flyers, and he exposed that so much. Yeah. He's just like Peyton Aldridge as well for Davidson, just that lanky, tall guy who can shoot the threes. Dayton just had no answer for him tonight, and really you saw that, and that he almost single-handedly was the reason why George Washington got out to such a good start in that first half. And I mean, you almost put it squarely on him as the guy who put Dayton in the hole right off the bat. He was making shots,
right,
man.
And add you to Watanabe, who had 18 points. I mean, look, GW made 12 of their first 13 shots. That's 92%. And yes, that's not bad for a couple of comm majors that can add that up and divide that. That's not bad at all, okay? Look, 457-1290, we want to hear from you. We're taking this all the way to 1130. Your thoughts about this game. What are your thoughts of this Dayton Flyer team? Is this team? What do you think of where this team is going into Pittsburgh next week? And we should tell you, Dayton is going to be playing at high noon on Friday. That's already been set. They've got the double bye. They've got the number one seed. Nothing changed tonight. The concerns, like you said, about number one, avoid the injuries. Well, Dayton avoided the injuries. Number two, you did want to go in playing well. They didn't play well tonight. What my concern was is that Charles Cook, Scucci Smith. To me, they didn't play well tonight. That is what my concern is, because, all right, give them an off night. That's fine. But Cook at four turnovers, including an awful pass that set up a Watanabe dunk early in the second half. Scucci Smith with four turnovers. I'm not going to say they didn't play hard. They did. But they didn't play about as smart as they could have been. That to me, that's a concern. That is a concern when you're going in, because you want to be going in playing good basketball like this team has been doing. And I thought they got away from that a little bit tonight.
Yeah, the team that the only thing that I saw as a resemblance from the team that won the beat VCU on Wednesday from what we saw today was that competitive drive in the second half. That's really about all I saw, and just that ability to fight. That's about what I saw. But we've seen that this whole year. But a lot of the basic things they just didn't have, and too many times wild passes, driving into the lane, wild shots, missing layups, missing free throws. I mean, you can't shoot 50% from the free throw line when you get there almost 30 times. You can't do that. You're not going to win games like this, and they didn't. You shouldn't win games like that when you're that bad from the free throw line.
I will say this: Dayton was they were in this game. There was a long way to go. They were back in this ball game. They battled back. I will absolutely give them that credit. They absolutely deserve credit. Zarius Williams was unconscious. Absolutely unconscious. You had John Crosby. He's starting to settle down. Look, he sparked that team to get them right back in the ball game. Not only at Davidson, but he did that again tonight. So there were some good things. The only thing that we're speaking out of a little concern is of what Archie said. That's what we're speaking out. Yep. Now, look, usually when you have a loss, you tend to overreact after a loss. But are there some things that this team needs to work on? Of course. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're going to do on the practice court, and that's exactly what they're going to do when they get home from D.C. Dayton has not won there since 2009. Taking a look at a couple other tweets, by the way. Tony sent this: the curse continues, 8-year dry spell. There's just plenty others. You can get on me at Twitter, at John Tizzo, and at Michael Purvis. You can give us a call at 457-1290. I guess, Mike, one of the things that what else did you really notice? You know, you were watching the ball game, and really, as I look at this, you know, Kyle Davis, of course, played hard in this ball game. There were some other good signs. Powell, of course, played well. You know, just to me, the two disappointments, at least for me tonight, and we're scooching with Charles Cook. That to me was probably the disappointment. Look, Scooch has done way more right than wrong.
Oh yeah,
and everyone's entitled to an off night, but just for me, I don't know.
And I think you actually said it is that there's a lot of people, and even myself included, who will bash John Crosby a lot for sometimes his reckless play, at least the way I see it. But at times he was definitely the better of the two point guards tonight, and just that even though he was so recklessly going through there, he didn't turn the ball over today. You know, Scucci turned some over, and that's okay. But the thing of it is that. it really seems like Dayton just didn't have their focus tonight. And I think I wrote that down in my notes, and I know every single person who follows this program even remotely had to feel the exact same way. Was this team going to be able to get up and probably, you know, face a punch in the mouth early on? Exactly what happened, and would they be able to recover from it? They didn't recover from it until almost, what, about 10 minutes left in the second half? That's about the time when they finally started to get their legs under them, to where, because Zarius Williams was just actually getting them single-handedly himself back into that game. It just seemed like they just didn't have it tonight, and I don't. There's a lot of things I think went against them, you know, but that were in their control and out of their control. But they just didn't have it tonight, and everything Archie said was exactly what I saw. They just didn't have it tonight,
and it just seemed whenever they got close. I mean, Larry said this so many times during the broadcast. If you're listening to the ball game, they had it cut when they cut it to 10 points. We get it within 10 points, we're going to win. Said that several times tonight. And you felt like that. You felt like if they could get that, because Dayton didn't play. Dayton did not have their A game. Maybe you could expect that after such an emotional win. It was just an emotionally great atmosphere at the UD Arena. Just absolutely beautiful. But just whenever it seems they couldn't get over the hump, GW had the answer.
And that's exactly, you literally took the words right out of my mouth, is that I remember seeing a lot of tweets after the VCU game to be like, there were a lot of fans that were kind of playing with their emotions a little bit, almost the same way that they had with the Elite Eight run. And it was the way I was sensing it, where, wow, a team that met expectations or exceeded expectations. And that's exactly what this team did. There were a lot of people that were seeing that. And I even felt that a little bit myself going into this game, where I'm like, well, maybe going into this game, they're going to go above and do something different that we don't. They normally don't win these kind of games. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is the team to do it. But instead, it felt more like some of the Dayton teams that I can remember, especially at my time just across the street, where so many times, like, okay, there's a lead, you know, then they're chipping it down a little bit, and you're like, oh, if they can just get it to 10, or if they can just get it to 7, you know, maybe they can just go on that little bit of a run. But every time, it just felt like it was just too far for them to grasp, and they could just never do enough to get it. Those were the teams that I remember from my time over there, not the Archie Miller teams. And this one was a little bit more of a throwback, and hopefully a throwaway game as well, though we're not going to see this come when we come to Pittsburgh.
But I will say this. Also, you think maybe that was going to be the case in the Davidson game, and we saw what happened. Certainly Davidson and GW are two complete different teams, because Davidson has their big two with Gibbs and with Aldridge, and they just wore down because they played so many minutes in that game, and Dayton was able to make plays down the stretch, and they were able to finish the game in a tough place. They were able to finish it off, but just tonight, just the deficit was too big. At least on my take, you get them to 19 points. There were several occasions that GW had them up to 19 points, but look, now it is what it is. You're not getting this one back, and now it's on to Pittsburgh in the Atlantic 10 tournament, as the Dayton Flyers will get to that one. So 457-1290 is, we want to hear from you, taking this all the way to 1130. Let's check in now with Jeff, and Jeff, what are your thoughts about tonight's game? Jeff from Dayton joined us.
Well, you know, I got on the mic on the other night after the VCU game with Charles Cook hurting his ankle in that game, and I posed the question of, will we see him versus GW? And my thought was, no, you set him. You rest him, you get him healthy, and really tonight he really didn't do anything. You know, he looked like he was tentative. He wasn't 100%. If you're not going to play him 100% in a game that you don't need him, well then don't play him 100%, because we're going to need him 100% on Friday. And kind of disappointed in the fact that he played tonight. I thought we should set him, and you know, we should bring in Kyle Davis. Maybe not start. Let's start Dale Davis. Let's get back into that routine. Let's start Daryl Davis. Well, let's start Kyle Davis and not Charles Cook, because he was hurt. Let's set him.
All right, well, Jeff, go ahead.
Let's get him out there and let him be healthy next Friday in Pittsburgh, then hey, go full go.
All right. Well, Jeff, we thank you so much for calling Flyer Feedback tonight. And look, that was one of the questions coming in. You know, do you play Cook? Do you play Scooch? Do you play such and such? And Cook has been banged up. That was one of the things that I know was brought up. And I think it was brought up, I think, the other night by John Bedell and Nate Green. Do you play some of these guys or rest some of them? That is something. Look, even Cunningham got banged up a little bit tonight, but I mean, he battled, missed a lot of layups though. But that was one thing that you had. You didn't want to get out with injuries. Thankfully, Dayton, I don't think, had any major injuries, at least not that we're aware of.
When Cunningham went down with that injury, I was visibly like, oh gosh, looked awful. And luckily, I'll tell you right now, doing the splits like the way he did with a player landing on one of your legs,
yeah,
I'm not getting up from that one. I don't know about that. But
well,
it was good.
Well, we saw Charles Cook do the splits in Anaheim. That was not fun.
That was not fun earlier
this year. Oh my goodness.
But I think Jeff brings up a good point, and I think you're hitting on it as well. It almost kind of goes with that theory that Dayton didn't exactly know how to attack this game, almost in a way. Do they actually go after it with the starters and everybody, or do they rest up for Pittsburgh? And obviously they went for it, but they, as Archie said, stuck in the mud today. They just couldn't get through.
Well, 457-1290. We got 2 minutes before we got news at the top of the hour. Let's head to Tennessee and check in with Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hey, John. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you, sir?
Good wake up loss for Dayton. They were coasting tonight. They thought that, you know, because of ECU, they were just going to roll into the tournament.
Yeah, that's a good point. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mike. And you also that's another thing that went through my head as well, is that if they're going to lose one, might as well go ahead and kind of, you know, get them rattled a little bit going into Pittsburgh and into the NCAA tournament, rather than obviously when it's a one and out tournament. So obviously, maybe in a way, since they're not carrying that winning streak anymore, I think you do bring up a good point. You know, knock them around just a little bit in a good way, of course, you know, figuratively. But this actually might do more for the motivation side than I think we can also expect.
Right.
Well, Archie needs to spend 2 hours shooting fouls.
Yeah, that may have to go back to that. All right. Steve, thanks for calling. Thanks for checking in from Nashville.
Okay.
We'll talk to you soon, okay? All right. We got about another minute. We got to news at the top of the hour. And I think that's really the thing is, obviously, the missed free throws. The funny thing is, as well, as poorly as Dayton played, they make half the free throws. We added this up. Dayton might have won tonight.
Yeah.
That. All right. Sometimes that may be just. That's just the thing that's so frustrating. You're like, you think about that, but then again, instead of playing the party booth, we're playing this. Haven't played that in a while. Hopefully, it's the last time we play that. But
last time, baby.
That's kind of how we kind of feel a little bit. But look, there's some things that Dayton has done well this week. There's some things they've done well this year. We're going to talk about that. We are here till 11:30 tonight here on Flyer Feedback. Michael Purvis is here. I'm John Tisdale. We're taking this all the way again to the bottom of the hour, 11:30. It is 29 degrees in Dayton. Bundle up if you're heading out tonight. Flyer Feedback continues on the other side of this break right here on the home of the Flyers right after the news.
This is Flyer Feedback on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. From the McAfee Heating and Air Studio, this is WHIO Dayton, WHIO FM Pleasant Hill, a service of Cox Media Group. AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. Dayton and Springfield's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic. On air, online at WHIO.com and in the WHIO app. The home of Fox News in the Miami Valley. Your news starts now.
Fox News Radio, I'm Tom Graham. Clashes between President Trump's supporters and protesters. Dozens of pro-Trump rallies taking place in several cities nationwide, but in California turned violent. Fox's Garrett Tenney with details.
Things got ugly this afternoon in Berkeley, California, where a few dozen Trump supporters had started to gather for a March for Trump rally when some of the protesters went up to the group and started arguing, which led to shoving and fist flying. Since then, the protests have continued to grow and the fights have continued to break out as well. Police are on hand and hoping to avoid a repeat of what we saw on Berkeley's campus 1 month ago when riots broke out out over conservative speaker Milo Yiannopoulos.
Protesters also confronting a pro-Trump crowd in Washington, but police came between the two sides. Meantime, the commander in tweets setting off a firestorm this morning. President Trump taking to Twitter to accuse former President Obama of tapping his phones during the campaign season. Republicans now calling for an investigation.
Listen, if this is true, this is absolutely outrageous that we would have an American administration tap into a campaign of the other party.
Representative Sean Duffy speaking to Fox News. Senator Lindsey Graham says if true, it would be the biggest scandal since Watergate. But Fox's Kristen Fisher says a spokesperson for the former president is shooting down allegations of bugging, issuing a statement.
It is a flat denial of all of these accusations. I want to read it to you in full. Quote, a cardinal rule of the Obama administration was that no White House official ever interfered with any independent investigation led by the Justice Department. As part of that practice, neither President Obama nor any White House official ever ordered surveillance on any U.S. citizen. Any suggestion otherwise is simply false.
President Trump has not followed up on his accusation with any evidence. He's spending the weekend at his Mar-a-Lago estate in South Florida. You're listening to Fox News Radio, Fair and Balanced.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
The extended five-day forecast, an exclusive for Dayton Radio, is next on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Changes in Washington are not only affecting the nation's economy, but your family's as well. Quicken Loans can show you how to take advantage of a cash-out refinance to pay off credit card debt or invest in home improvements. In fact, you may be able to eliminate private mortgage insurance. No matter what's happening in Washington, it's always a smart move to call us at 800-QUICKEN. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.18%, APR 4.35%. Experience the confidence that comes from working with a mortgage partner that has your best interest in mind. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN today or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS consumeraccess.org number 3030.
Are you working so hard to make a living you can't take time to make any real money? Is every day the same boring routine going nowhere and the money runs out before the month? Hi, my name is Ron LeGrand, and for over 35 years now, I've been helping clients take their life back by buying and selling houses with no money, credit, experience, or license. If you'll call 800-865-3959, 24 hours, and leave a message, I'll send you my new book and CD absolutely free so you can see how. I've bought and sold over 3,000 houses and trained thousands to do the same. Call 800-865-3959 and get my new book and CD free until 500 are gone. You'll learn how to make a full-time income on a part-time basis without risk, largely tax-free, and get 90% of the work done for you for pennies. That's 800-865-3959. Again, 800-865-3959. Call now.
What did President Trump say today?
The news, statements, policies, and tweets are coming fast and sometimes furious. Get the very latest every weekday morning, 5 to 9 a.m. on Miami Valley's Morning News.
This is where Dayton and Springfield turn first to hear the latest developments in the Trump White House. AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. Now, the exclusive AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO 5-day weather forecast.
Clear and cool overnight. Tonight, lows back in the upper 20s. More sunshine on your Sunday. A few clouds later on as we head past sunset. Highs on Sunday in the middle, maybe even upper 50s. Upper 50s on Monday, mostly cloudy skies. Couple of passing showers likely. Better shot for widespread rain comes Tuesday, especially early on. Could see a few thunderstorms as well. Highs in the upper 50s. Back into the upper 40s, partly cloudy on Wednesday. A little bit more sunshine on Thursday with highs back near 50. I'm meteorologist Brett Collar on the Miami Valley Severe Weather Station, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
You're listening to Flyer Feedback on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. Call with your questions and comments now. 457-1290. Flyer Feedback on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
Flyer fans, welcome back to Flyer Feedback. The tweet of the night belongs to David Jablonski, our friend and colleague from the Dayton Daily News. He tweets out, Dayton fans everywhere breathe a sigh of relief that there won't be that their team won't be ranked heading into the postseason. Picture of Cringer from He-Man, the He-Man cartoon.
Wiping
his
brow.
We've been laughing at this for the last 2 minutes.
Run away from success. That's
yes,
what we
run
want,
away,
apparently.
To quote the guys from Monty Python and the Holy Grail, run away, run away. 4, 5, 7, 12. Listen, you got to laugh. You got to laugh. Come on. We got to have fun here. Dayton losing 87-81 to GW. You got to have fun. You got to have fun. And because, I mean, what's been a good year, Flyer fans? It's not a good night, but come on. We're gonna have fun. We're gonna have a little fun. We're gonna have a little fun because you know what? If you can hear that little music in the background, Michael Purvis, you know what's coming up in about a few days.
I think I know.
That's right. We will find out Sunday. Not tomorrow. Next Sunday, where the Dayton Flyers will be.
This really is better than Christmas, isn't it?
This is Christmas for us. Absolutely. 457-1290 is the number. I mean, look. Dayton falls tonight 87-81. Look. First half, Dayton did not play well. GW, Archie Miller was not happy about this game. I mean, we could go ahead and go back to the quotes that he talked about a post game with Larry Hanskin. Use the words unacceptable. Dayton problem, we didn't play well tonight. Missed too many layups and free throws. We can get to that. I mean, you give GW credit. They played well. But at the other side of it, were there good things? I mean, Kendall Pollard did what he wanted with 24 points. Yeah, but the missed 7 free throws. Zarius Williams continues to impress me, Michael Purvis.
Man.
And is the game starting to slow down a little bit for John Crosby? Because for the second straight road game, he gave this team a spark.
He did, and yeah. And
I'll give him that.
Absolutely, yeah. And like I said, there were times when I thought that he was outplaying Scoochie for a little bit. Scoochie's earned his nights
absolutely.
Off. So I'll give him that. But I'll tell you right now, Zarius is. I think we saw Kendall kind of. We saw kind of where he was coming from his freshman year, and last year I was so on Zarius's. I just wanted to be like, man, he needs to get playing time. Let's see what he can develop into.
I was too.
And man, the stretches that he has taken this year, and I mean, we can just how much do we need to talk about it again? He's basically coming a certain way of the way that Tyler Cavanaugh was to G-Dub what we're having for us. A lanky guy who can go down low, block shots, get rebounds, but then also shoot in the paint, but yet can step out, pop a three, and hit them consistently. So he has become a really good all-around player, and he's only a sophomore. And I mean, I just can't wait to see the strides that he makes over the next couple of years because, man, he is just developing and shining and really has become the next star of who Archie can develop.
Now, the one thing I'll get to, and we'll get right back to the phones. One of the things I also wanted to see tonight, I wanted to see Zarius Williams kind of get back on track because he – VCU, he was completely overmatched by that front court. Look, VCU's front court is very good.
It's going to be a lot of people up.
And Justin Tillman. There's a lot of people that have struggled against that front court. And VCU, yeah, we can discuss the 0.4-second lucky breaks they've gotten. But listen, that front court's really good. And Zarius was just absolutely did not score. You wanted to see Zarius Williams get back on track. And I have it right here. 6 of 9 from the field, 5 of 8 from three. He was in the zone in the second half, 17 points. So definitely a good sign. The turnovers were one thing that Mike and I were talking about. Dayton 12 turnovers. GW had 19 points off those turnovers. Starting backcourt again for the Flyers of Cook and Smith, combined 8 turnovers, 4 turnovers each. Okay, I mean, sometimes you're going to have a night like that, but that's something that that needs to get cleaned up.
And I know you want to head to the phones, but I just want to just mention this, because I know this was something that that you just look at it. The numbers back up exactly what Archie was saying, because also right next to those points on turnovers here on the box score, the second chance points, Dayton had 18 second chance points.
Right.
Think of how many times they missed layup after layup. So right there, the points off turnovers and the second chance points basically just nullified each other. And then all the extra free throws that they missed, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's your game. There's your game right there. That's where they lost.
As much as Dayton did not play well tonight, they could have won this game.
Yes.
I mean, they could have. But you know what? They didn't. 457-1290 is the number. We move on. Dayton plays Friday afternoon at noon. Mark from Xenia is joining us on Flyer Feedback. Mark, good evening.
Yeah, how are you doing, John?
I'm well. How are you, sir?
Oh, fine. Hey, I think one reason Dayton lost is they wouldn't guard enough 3-2 good, because that's their AMO too, man.
Yeah, you're right. GW had 13 threes, and they also had 10 in the first half. So that was one of the things that GW did very well tonight, Mark.
And there were even a couple that were just ones that you just got to tip your hat to. I saw at least two or three of them that Kavanaugh made. He had a hand in his face, and he still made them. So, I mean, some of them were definitely like, okay, tip your hat. You made that one. That's fine. But for the most part, the perimeter defense was lacking. Even on some of those ones where they closed out, they still didn't close out as good as they could have.
Hey, John.
Yes, sir.
I know you guys don't like hearing this stuff about me. Next year, Dane's guy only got one scholarship. What do you think they should go after?
Well, it really depends on what they have. I mean, it depends on their needs. I've not heard of what they have. Obviously, Archie hasn't released it yet. The university hasn't done that yet. I mean, obviously, we know they got Jordan Davis. They got Jordan Pierce, who's a 7-foot center out of Scotch Plains, New Jersey. There's McKinley Wright. Nazir Carter, I think McKinley Wright did very well. I think Archie alluded to that in one of his last coaches shows, if not maybe not this last one on last Monday night, maybe the Monday before. But I can't answer that, but I can tell you that there's one scholarship. Who should they get? You can never get size, but I'll tell you, Mark, the toughest position to always prepare for is the point guard position, because you never can have that.
And yeah, they got that kid from Minnesota, right kid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. But it takes a while for a point guard to adjust. Look how it's taken for John Crosby to adjust, but it's starting to finally slow down for him.
Hey, there's a 6'11 kid I think we could get out of Queens, New York, because they just tried.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what they do on the recruiting trail. Though they still haven't, I think got a scholarship left, but they haven't released it yet. At least not until the end of the year. But Mark, as always, we thank you so much for calling Flyer Feedback. We're just gonna go back to the phones. Check in a good friend of the show, John from Troy. John, how are you, sir?
Oh well, I've been better.
Yeah, us
haven't
too.
We all? Yeah,
us too.
Yeah, I mean, there could be positives that come from this. You know, that may remotivate them. You know, just get them refocused. I do have one concern that I don't know it's been brought up yet. But during the first half, Tyler Kavanaugh threw a vicious pick on Darryl Davis and hit his head. And we never seen Darryl play the rest of the night. And, you know, I don't know if, you know, Archie's being cautious or, you know, even for, you know, concussion protocol.
Right.
But that is an injury that may have happened, that nobody seems to have really caught it. I mean, on the UD Pride, they've mentioned that, you know, people noticed that he never came back in. But,
right.
I mean, if you guys ever find out, but Archie holds that stuff to the vest.
Yeah, I that's something, you know, I'm on David Jablonski coming right now. I'm following him on Twitter right now. He hasn't said anything. I know that's something Michael was talking about with those screens, especially with Tyler Kavanaugh. He was, John, there's some words that Michael was using that we can't repeat about the screens that Tyler Kavanaugh was setting. But it was some of them were pretty vicious from what you and Michael were describing, though. Describe that a little bit, and then, John, you can follow up on that.
No, I was just even going to say that the screens, I think it just went down to a little bit of what of what we talked about before. Maybe George Washington just wanted a little bit more. They definitely had an extra little pep in their step, and I think that's the exact screen that you were talking about was definitely one of the ones where we kind of saw it, that Georgetown just had so much fire within themselves tonight, and ultimately that's what it comes down to. But yeah, ultimately, Darryl, I think, is the X factor for this team down the stretch because of how good his defense is and his ability to shoot the three, even though sometimes he does struggle from there. I think you're right. We just got to hope that there's nothing significant with that injury, of course, obviously.
And hopefully nothing's wrong with Cook. I didn't see him limping or anything.
I didn't see anything either. No,
I didn't notice that. I was worried about Cunningham's fall. Boy, that looking at
him. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He got back up and shook it off.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing is, though, John, when you're in this situation, and look, Dayton Flyer fans, they haven't had a situation like this where, quote-unquote, Dayton had, quote-unquote, nothing to play for their final regular season game. To me, I'm not going to say that I disagree with that notion. You always want to go into a tournament playing well, and I think one of the things that we're disappointed with tonight was not that Dayton lost, is that was the way that they did, especially in the first half, at least in the first 25, 30 minutes of the game. And then Dayton came back and showed the team that they have been throughout most of the year. Is that what your thoughts were when the throughout the course of the game tonight?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like I do believe like in the law, like biorhythms of a team. I mean, we've been on a 9-game winning streak, and you're going to lose again.
Yeah,
you'd rather. I don't know. I'd rather get it out of the bad game out of my system now. I would have rather seen them win tonight and then maybe in the semifinals throw this game out, and play one of these type of games. But I would have not liked to seen the Flyers going into the first round of the NCAA with a 13-game winning streak.
Right.
I mean, it's just. Like I said, 1 year I remember in 2014, a team that I really thought was darn good was that St. Joe's team.
Right.
St. Joe's, was beat Dayton three times and won the, they won the A-10 tournament, and they happened to get stuck. They were the 7th seed, and they happened to get stuck playing 10-seed UConn.
Yep.
And they led about 90% of the game, and they lost in the last minute.
That's right.
UConn went on and won the national championship. It mm-hmm. just seemed
That's right.
to me that was a very, very good St. Joe's.
That was.
Team.
That was really a good
St. Joe's.
I mean,
they were a better team than us, and we ended up going to the, the Final Eight. It's
That's
just
right.
getting into that right rhythm.
Exactly right.
And, maybe this is a blessing in disguise. Maybe this will refocus the team, you hope it's not an adverse effect where they go out and lose the next game, but they haven't done that. They've only done that once in the last 2 years, and that was at the early part of the season where they've lost two in a row. So, Archie's he's the guy who's the coach, and you kind of get the feeling he had a sense that he was scared this would happen tonight.
Well, and John, I wanted to bring something up, and you brought up 2014, and I wanted to bring this up because one of the things that caught me as you were talking about that, I was thinking about St. Louis in 2014.
I was too.
Because really, we saw St. Louis was in a free fall almost towards the end of the regular season going into the tournament. Now, they were just gassed, flat-out gassed going into the A-10 tournament. And I don't see that from Dayton's perspective, even though at least for this 2016-2017 season, I don't see Dayton being like that. I don't see any fatigue issues or injuries or anything like that. So there doesn't seem to be anything that's an alarming thing, even though Archie said alarming. We've said alarming with some of the things that Archie has said, but I don't see it as being something like the St. Louis free fall where they literally backed their way into the A-10 tournament and backed their way to a quick exit in the March Madness tournament, of course.
Well, I think Archie knows how to pace the guys. I mean, he said that, and where, Jim Cruz is Jim Cruz, and I think he gassed those guys. And
that's right.
It's just Archie he stated that toward the end of the years that they take days off,
right.
And I would imagine maybe, the guys were partying pretty hard Wednesday night.
I think that may have had something maybe a little bit to do with the game tonight. But the one thing I will point this out, John, and then we got to go, but that's something that Archie alluded to, was cutting down on that schedule in 2014, and that made a difference in that run. We'll see what happens, at least for maybe for a potential run, maybe for 2017. John, we got to run. We got a break. We got to go to. Thanks for checking in on Flyer Feedback tonight. Heading down the stretch of this edition of Flyer Feedback, Dayton falling tonight at GW 87-81. Michael and I are going to put the wraps on this one. The home stretch of Flyer Feedback coming up next right here on Home of the Flyers.
This is Flyer Feedback on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
This Flyer Flashback is brought to you by Miller Valentine Group. Sophomore Ryan Mikesell from St. Henry had a collegiate debut that any freshman would envy. Playing in his very first game, he scored a career-high 21 points in a win against Southeast Missouri State. Speaking of history, for over 50 years, Miller Valentine has been the winning formula for companies looking to relocate, renovate, build, or expand in the Dayton region. Experience the difference. Find out more at mvg.com.
This is a Budweiser beer. Smooth, crisp, beechwood-aged beer. Brewed the hard way. So when we wake up itching to prove the world wrong, this is the beer we'll drink. When we win championships we're not supposed to win. When we stop calling our startup a startup because it's not a startup anymore. When we say we're going to change the world and we actually change the world, this is the beer we'll drink. Budweiser. This Bud's for you. Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two Go Anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows for 40% off, and that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow.
You've been lied to. Lied to by corrupt Washington politicians and the Wall Street propaganda machine. Hi, I'm Inc. magazine best-selling author Brett Kitchen, and I want to give you a free copy of my brand new book, Wealth Beyond Wall Street, because we all know another market crash could be right around the corner. After losing 35% in my IRA in the crash years ago, I said enough, and since then I discovered a way to grow money potentially double digits, reduce taxes dramatically, and also have my money protected when the next stock market crash hits. When the next market crash hits, you lose nothing. Call Wealth Beyond Wall Street now to get your free copy and talk with a specialist to discover this little-known strategy to get potential double-digit growth during good years and never lose when the next stock market crash hits, all while building a tax-advantaged retirement. Call 800-908-1616 to discover this asset that people like Walt Disney and JCPenney use to grow wealthy. Plus, get one of just 97 free books left. We even cover shipping and handling, no credit card required. Call 800-908-1616. That's 800-908-1616, 1-800-908-1616.
If you're a CPAP user, soap and water cleaning may leave harmful bacteria, viruses, and mold that can make you sick. That alone will keep you up at night. Until now, SoClean.com is the world's first and only automated hands-free CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. SoClean kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs without soap, water, harsh chemicals, or even equipment disassembly. And now, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-885-4747.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health is improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean's revolutionary design makes it easy to clean your CPAP and protect you against CPAP-related illnesses. Plus, SoClean works with all popular CPAP devices to clean them in minutes. It really is that easy. Don't risk your health. Call SoClean.com now to try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-885-4747. This offer won't last. Call now. 800-885-4747. 800-885-4747.
clear skies overnight tonight. A cool night with lows back in the upper 20s. I'm meteorologist Brett Collar on the Miami Valley Severe Weather Station, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
You're listening to Flyer Feedback on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. Call with your questions and comments now. 457-1290. Flyer Feedback on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
Flyer fans, wrapping up this edition of Flyer Feedback here on the home of the Flyers, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO. John Tisdall, Michael Purvis here. John Bedell on assignment, anchoring News Center 7 at 11 as we speak. But, of course, coming up on Friday, Dayton doesn't have much time. They got a few days off to rest up, and then guess what?
Postseason! Postseason!
That's right, Puppet LeBron. Postseason coming up Friday at high noon. Dayton's in the first round of the They get the double bye of the A-10 championship. They will play the winner of LaSalle and Davidson Friday at high noon. And Dayton, by the way, beat both those teams, LaSalle and Davidson. Davidson, of course, in overtime on the last Friday, and then they beat LaSalle. Seems like eons ago. That was back in December.
You know, and that's funny because I heard Larry and Bucky talk about that in the pregame earlier. It's like, you know what? It feels like this season has been gone by in a stab of a finger, but yet it seems like that game against LaSalle was a year ago. It's crazy.
And it was. It was last year.
Yeah,
it was December 2016.
Since we're getting on technicalities here, I guess.
That's exactly right. I'll tell you what, a couple of plays, even though Dayton fell tonight 87-81, just a couple of plays that really that I thought were just terrific by Dayton. How about the out-of-bounds lob and stuff by Kendall Pollard? You showed me the we both saw the video of that. That looked like Kendall Pollard doing his Julius Erving impression back when he played for the 76ers back in the late 70s and early 80s.
The extension on it. He even got the legs with the, you know, the, oh man, that was just gorgeous.
That was his second big dunk, because he had a big one 2 years ago that I think made SportsCenter top 10. I think he was, and he got a little PR from that from our good pal Josh Pastorino when he was calling the game with Larry that night. So I remember that very well. And then Kyle Davis, how about the steal that he had? You know, I heard the we've heard so many times Mo Alleycock saying for VCU, make a good football player. Kyle Davis would make a great defensive back.
Absolute shutdown
corner.
And,
you know, they're doing the NFL draft combine right now. You know what? If you're Marvin Lewis, if you're looking for a shutdown, draft Kyle Davis. I'm being dead serious.
You know, I don't know what his prospects are. I know he's about 6 foot, but I'll tell you right now.
He can play corner.
I don't care if I'm playing checkers, football, basketball, or golf. If I have an opportunity to pick Kyle Davis on my team, I'm putting him on my team. No doubt.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. Kyle Davis, that was just some play that he made tonight. Mm-hmm. And look, I mean, those are just a couple of things that Dayton, the couple of good plays that Dayton made. And look, Dayton did not get the job done. Dayton losing tonight 87-81. Look, Archie was clearly not happy about the way, especially the first half, as we kind of wrap this up with about 2 minutes left. What are the things you want to see from Dayton as they get ready, I guess for the last minute, because a couple of promotion things I got to do, but your last thoughts about this game as we put a capper on tonight?
I mean, it's one game, and it was definitely not their best effort, and even though we heard some alarming things and we kind of felt that feel from Archie as well, is one game, and I really look for them, whoever they get on Friday, I think they're going to come out and they're just going to blaze them in the first half. I just think they want to send a message right off the bat on Friday, no matter who they play, is this one's going to sit for a while, and they're going to be pretty dang mad. And we know, as you said too, practice isn't going to be fun this week for those guys, and it shouldn't be, because they can't get complacent.
No,
they can't. Archie said it, and we all know that they can't get complacent. They won Friday. They won on Wednesday. It was a great way to go out.
Great win.
They're not done yet, and they know that. And I think today was a good reminder
that was something Archie talked about after the game on Wednesday. That was something that he was concerned about. I know that's something I know Larry and Bucky were concerned about before the game. And it hurt Dayton tonight. It hurt them. Then they came back. They played hard. They competed. They got it to within six. But look, they make half the free throws and make some of those layups. They could have won tonight. But look, it is what it is. Well, Flyer fans, if you missed the VCU game, or if you were at the VCU and you didn't hear the call from Larry and Bucky, well, guess what? You are in luck. Tomorrow at 4 o'clock, we are replaying the Dayton-VCU game, where Dayton won their first outright A-10 regular season game. It's tomorrow at 4 o'clock. You do not want to miss that. And also coming up on Monday, Last season finale edition of the Archie Miller Show, live from Frickers on Woodman Drive with Larry and Coach. A lot to talk about then. We'll recap this game, recap Wednesday night's games, and preview the Friday game as Dayton heads to Pittsburgh. Flyer, that's going to wrap up this edition of Flyer Feedback. Dayton falls at GW tonight, 87-81 for...
Michael Purvis. Thanks, everyone. Go Flyers, everyone.
That's right. I'm John Tisdale. Thanks for listening to Flyer Feedback here on the Home of the Flyers. Until next time, go Flyers.